We're doing the Drashot HaRan, which are a series of speeches that the Ran gave on different philosophical topics. And we're up to the eighth speech. We've been doing this for a number of years. The Ran in each speech covers a few basic important concepts. This speech, the eighth speech, is really a description, a discussion of prophecy, how prophecy works. The Ran begins with a discussion of what happened when Aaron and Miriam spoke badly about Moshe. God shows up and says, "What do you think you're doing? You know how I speak to any other prophet and how I speak to Moshe? How can you guys compare? How could you speak that way about Moshe?" And the Ran analyzes, what's God really saying? What is God saying? What does he mean to say that Moshe's prophecy is different than their prophecy? In what ways is Moshe's prophecy different? And he discusses the words of the verse. He discusses how God appeared to them suddenly and they weren't ready for prophecy. And so the prophecy pained them. And God calls out Aaron and Miriam together with Moshe and gives them prophecy. So the Ran says, why were all three standing if God was talking to Aaron and Miriam? And here he developed a phenomenal concept, which is really his chidush. It's something that he develops. And that is that when we stand next to someone who gets prophecy, so then even if we are unworthy, we can get prophecy. It's as though the cup overflows. And that's what happened with Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. What God did was, he called Moshe and spoke. And then Moshe was always on the level where he could attain prophecy. Aaron and Miriam were not worthy. But by virtue of the fact that they were standing next to him, so the prophecy spread to them, and then they started yelling, "Hey, wait, we can't handle this." There's a story of a Hasidish Rebbe who used to pray. He used to say, "God, I want to have the awe of you the way Maimonides had." Figured that's something he could handle. And he'd pray for it daily. He'd say, "I want to experience awe of God the way Maimonides did." And he'd always pray for this. And one day, he ended his prayer and his wish was granted. And he stood in his place and he couldn't move. And he stayed there standing for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. He stood there frozen. He couldn't move. He had such awe that he couldn't handle it. And the best he could muster was a prayer, "God, I can't handle this. Please stop this." And when he snapped out of it, he realized that he thought he could handle Maimonides' level of being a God-fearing person. He couldn't handle that. He went out of his mind. He couldn't function. So there are levels of spirituality which are beyond us. And that's what happened to Aaron and Miriam, where God gave prophecy to Moshe, and suddenly Aaron and Miriam, they weren't prepared for that, but that was what God was showing them. You spoke about Moshe. You said, what was Moshe doing? What was he thinking, leaving his wife alone so that he could get prophecy? You don't even understand what Moshe's prophecy is all about. So that was the Ran's big chidush. He said, and he showed us from many stories in Tanakh, that this concept works out, that two people standing next to one another can affect one another spiritually in this way, that one can get prophecy, and even though the other one isn't worthy, he can suddenly get elevated and get that prophecy. And the Ran went on a few tangents, teaching us very important concepts. Then he came back and he said, this is not only true about prophets, this also happens with wise men, where one can get from another, one can grow by being next to the other. And then he says, it could be that it's even post-mortem. And that's the idea of people going to graves when they pray. Because the fact that that person is buried there lends a certain aura to that place. And so when you come to that place, you're affected whether you want it or not. So he began by saying that when nivua settles on a person, it can affect someone else. And now what the last point we saw is that even the body of a holy person can have an impact where people standing nearby can be elevated by virtue of the fact that they're next to that person. And now we're up to page Kuf Chaf Chet in the Shalem edition, Reish Tzadi Vav in the Mosad HaRav Kook edition. The Ein Zeh Min HaTema. Now, this shouldn't be perplexing to you, this idea that you're just standing next to someone and you're affected by them. I'll prove it to you. I'll give you another example of this concept. God tells Moshe at the end of the 40 years, after Miriam passes away, and we now there's no water. All those 40 years in the desert, we had a miraculous well that used to travel with us, that huge boulder that was called Be'er Shel Miriam, Miriam's well. And when Miriam passes away, so the well disappears. And God tells Moshe, I want you to go find the rock and talk to it and tell it to give water. You guys know the story, right? And Moshe makes a mistake. He hits the rock. But let's go back to the beginning of the story. God tells Moshe, I want you to take the staff to talk to the water. Why is God telling him to take the staff if he's supposed to talk to the water? Let's go back. Where do we first encounter the staff? God first appears to Moshe in the burning bush, and then God tells him, throw the staff on the ground. He throws it to the ground, and it becomes a snake. What does Moshe do? He runs away. Yeah, that's so interesting. He's talking to God. God told him to throw it on the ground, and God made it turn into a snake. So you think, what are you running for? If God wants you dead, you're going to die. Why did Moshe run away? Food for thought. Okay? Then God tells him, grab the tail of the snake. So Moshe grabs the tail of the snake, and it turns into a staff. Right? And then God tells him, "V'tamata hazeh tikach b'yadecha." I want you to take that staff with you. Asher ta'aseh bo ta'otot. You will do the miracles with that staff. Really? God needs a staff to do miracles? The 10 plagues, we know, God tells Moshe, hit the water with the staff. Raise your hand with the staff over the waters. What's going on here? I know magicians. I was a magician as a kid. I told you that. Of course we need a wand, because we have all kinds of shenanigans in the wand. Sometimes you have a wand that's an electromagnet. You point it at someone's watch and you can make the watch stop. Sometimes you have a wand that has fuel in it and you point it at something. You could squirt out the fuel and make a fire come out. Yeah, sure, I need a wand because I'm playing gimmicks. What does God need a staff for? Why does God tell Moshe, take that staff with you? Yeah? So, the Ran says, when I tell you that something spiritual can affect something else, don't tell me that doesn't sound right, because I'll show you. God tells Moshe, take the staff with you, because you're going to perform the miracles with that staff. That staff was in Moshe's hand when he stood before the burning bush. And when God settled on Moshe, in some way, God made that staff different. And you find the first miracle Moshe does is that staff. The staff changes from being an inanimate object to a living object, to a snake. So if God made that staff miraculously, it's not an ordinary staff anymore. If you have a staff that was formed by God, it's a staff that God turned into a snake, then turned it back into a staff. That's not a regular piece of wood anymore. That's a piece of wood that God actually made out of a snake. That's like a miraculous piece of wood, right? It's not the staff that Moshe had before turned into a snake. It looked the same, but it's not. It's no longer the same, right? Something happened here. So then God says, I want that staff to be the tool to creating the other miracles. All the miracles we find in Egypt, God commands, do it by the staff. Now that's interesting, because the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, when it comes to the plague of blood, so it says, hit the Nile with your staff, it'll turn to blood. When it says the plague of the frogs, God tells Moshe, raise your hand with your staff and bring the frogs onto Egypt. With the lice, with the hail, with the locust. But with all the other plagues, it doesn't say the staff. It doesn't mention the staff with regard to the plague of darkness. It doesn't mention the staff with regards to the plague of the wild animals. So that's why what he wrote here is a concept that he's saying. It doesn't say it in the verse. It's an interesting thought. He says the staff was used for all the plagues.
Did Moshe hit the
Aaron?
He did it with Moshe's.
That's a good question. Because the verse doesn't say. From the verse, we would think that Aaron did it with his own staff, right? Okay, so that's another interesting point the Ran just made. Right? That's a disagreement among the commentaries. Which staff did Aaron use? So what do you need the staff for? We're going to have to pick up here, Bezat Shem, next week. Because he's starting a thought, and he will develop it. As we continue, we're out of time. We'll pick up here, Bezat Shem, next week.